Morning, everyone. Can everybody hear me okay? I guess I'm on. Okay. We can be thankful to the Lord this morning that he died for us, and he was buried for us, and he rose again. But brothers and sisters, if you have not heard, he's coming back. He's coming back soon. And he's left in his word for us through the Apostle Paul some things we should think about before he comes back. Before we look at those, I'd like to just say a quick prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on this time together. Heavenly Father, we just praise thee and thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his word, his promises to us, and his incredible word. We just pray that you bless it to our hearts and body and mind and soul as we think upon him this morning. We give thee thanks in your Son's precious name. Amen. So as I said, turn that one down. Thank you. Must not have a terrible noise. Can everybody hear me okay? So as I was saying, we have this wonderful promise of God that, you know, from times past, we had the promise of the Messiah coming, the first advent as we know it. In times past, we had this promise that the Messiah was going to come, and he did come. We have a record of it. And there's a new story out on Sunday evenings. It's a 12-week series. You can think what you will of it. But, you know, it's interesting that somebody's making an attempt to do a story about Jesus after his death. It's called A.D. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's Rhoma Downey and her husband. She already did a biblical series, and it was kind of mischaracterized, if you will, by some people. There was some questionable additions put to the story. But anyhow, she's done a story, a 12-week series on A.D., after the death of Christ, and how the disciples grew in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and started what we know today as Christianity. Christianity is split up into so many different groups and so many different organizations today, but there's only one Christ and only one true God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, so no matter how you take this story, A.D., I think it's beneficial because it makes you question the Word of God. How many of you are really familiar with the book of Acts? Probably not. I know we've had many stories done of the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, but have we seen that many stories done about the book of Acts? Praise the Lord that somebody's talking about the book of Acts, whether they're right or wrong. And it causes some argument and differences and opinions and so forth, but nevertheless, people are talking about it. And I think it's wonderful that there's such a story out there. You can question it all you want, but that's the whole point. We should be questioning it. And praise the Lord that we have it. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapters 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter here to the saints there, and he talked about the death of Christ and how he's coming again, and what we should think in our minds about his coming and how it should affect us. And I'd like to bring out some thoughts in the book of Thessalonians along that line. And I recently went to see another movie. It's out in the theater. Praise the Lord that there's such movies out there today. Because it wasn't very well attended, but there are movies out there that you can go see. It's called Do You Believe? And the people in the story were not necessarily believers, but the truth of the Word of God was brought out. The truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. That truth was brought out, and it brought you through 12 families and 12 lives and how they came together at a hospital. And the whole idea of the movie was to ask the question to yourself, do you believe about what? About Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to go see the movie, whether you agree with some of the things that were in the movie or not. I suppose we could sit here and argue about it all day long, but it prompts the question, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's what we profess here this morning at Bethany Gospel Chapel. We profess the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like to read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and just to glean a few thoughts from this epistle, hopefully it'll encourage you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ and ask you, what do you believe? Do you think that what the Word of God has anything important to say? Do you think the Word of God has anything to say about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised his coming before he came. He died. He was buried. He resurrected. And he ascended into heaven. Do we believe that? I believe that. He has also said he's coming again. Brothers and sisters and friends in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to resurrect everyone in this world. Everyone. Every soul that's buried. You walk, you go by graveyards. I often ask the question, how many are dead in there? All of them. Well, all of them are going to rise because that's what God says. The Bible says it. It's true. I believe it. That settles it. God says that everybody is going to resurrect. What does that tell you about the Word of God? That every word of it's true. The fact is that God is right in the testimony of the resurrection that all rise in Christ, some to damnation and some to eternal life. There one day will be a resurrection, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be Lord of all. The Lord of all. And so 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, gives us some thoughts to think about as we think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to that. We do look forward to it. And we anticipate it. So let me start by reading a few verses and then just to share some thoughts. And for connection, we'll read from verse 9. For they themselves, chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how he turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The next verse I'd like to read is in verse chapter 2 and verse 19, and we'll, for a connection, read from verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Verse 19, for what is our hope? Or joy, or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? At his coming. Notice he says, at his coming. For ye are our glory and our joy. Chapter 3. Again, we'll look at verse 13, but for connection, let's read from verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. At his coming. Chapter 4. Again, for connection, we'll begin reading at verse 14, but I want to look at specifically 17 and 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise the Lord that is coming. We're to remember and know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for his own first, those that are still in the grave. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And what's the purpose of this? That we comfort one another with these words. Verse 18. And then for our final portion, let's look at chapter 5 and we're looking at verse 23. and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Unto when? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, also who will also do it. Praise the Lord for the reading of his precious word. Now, I read a few select verses here, but they all had something in common. Excuse me. They all had something in common, and that is the idea of the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming soon. The Lord Jesus Christ will come back. He will come back. And in chapter 4, we read about, I love the way he says it here, the Apostle Paul, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them who also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What does he mean? God will bring with him. They will come from heaven. They're going to come down from heaven. For this way unto you by the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So those that are dead in Christ are already with the Lord, and he's going to return with them to come with them and in the clouds. And we are going to be caught together up with them to meet them in the clouds. Praise the Lord. He made a promise to us, a precious promise. And the promise is that he's coming back. He's coming back to take us. You know, we sit and stand by, if you will. We wait for that coming day. He's already completed everything he's promised so far. Why shall he not complete this? He promised that he will come again. He promised that he would come, and he did. He promised that he would come and become the Messiah, and he would live that perfect life, and he died on the cross for our sin. He promised that he would die and be buried, and eventually he would raise again from the dead. And he did all those things. Do we believe all those things or not? Do you believe? I believe. So we should be rejoicing in the fact that because he did come, and he had all these promises, and he completed all those promises, he will come just as he promised. And he will come again and receive us unto himself at the resurrection. We'll be with him and forever and ever be with him. In chapter 1, we see an encouragement here to wait for his Son from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back from heaven. He came down from heaven. He lived his perfect life. He was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, and lived the perfect life here on earth. And then he died. Should not have died. Should have been the ruler of all, but he died. And, you know, here you are thinking, as I would think, that how could that be, that God, the creator of the universe, was rejected and put to death on a cross, a cruel cross. But that wasn't the end of the story. He had victory over death. He was resurrected, and he ascended back into heaven. So he came down from heaven. I don't know if you've seen it on some of the bumpers, but you see an arrow pointing down, arrow pointing up, then there's another spot, and then an arrow pointing down, an arrow pointing up. Have you seen that bumper sticker? Probably a few, no? Be mindful of it. But it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came once, he went back. Then we have Christianity, those that believe on him. Then he's coming back. And then he's going to return back to heaven. So that's the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he hasn't fulfilled that promise. He's only fulfilled the first promise, that he came from heaven, he was born of a virgin, he suffered and died and was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the grave, and he went back into heaven. That's where he is now. It says here, and we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Amen. He's right. Amen. Even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. Praise the Lord. We had a wrath coming our way. We saw in Ephesians chapter 2. Once were some of you, but now we are in Christ Jesus, and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are no longer under this shadow of wrath, but we're under the shadow of the Almighty, the shadow of his wings. He protects us and he guides us, and one day he delivers us from the wrath to come. The wrath is coming upon this world, friends, brothers and sisters. The wrath is coming. Right now we don't think so, because we hear of Christians literally being persecuted and killed in the streets today because they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We literally hear of people dying for Jesus Christ, dying for the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, think about it. That's happening in other parts of the world right today as we speak. That could be happening here. And in that movie that I just saw, Do You Believe? A man was confronted with a gun faced at him. The guy was ready to pull the bullet. And his, it was just a movie. But he was facing a bullet. And the guy was facing him, right, ready to shoot him. And he said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And he was a pastor of a church. But he said, "Yes, I do." But for some reason, he had mercy upon him in the movie. And he didn't shoot him. But friends, brothers and sisters, we could be confronted even as we are sitting here this morning. And somebody could walk into this room and ask us, "Do you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?" Believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that he was resurrected for you, that he's ascended into heaven for you, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Are you waiting for him to come back? That could be questioned of any one of us at any time. And it's being questioned of people in the world, and they're being killed right on the spot because they say, yes, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are waiting for the Son. He's coming back from heaven. We got to know where he is. Where he is in heaven. He's not in some dungeon someplace, and he's not in the grave. We know that. As a matter of fact, I even heard something on TV recently that they found the remains of Jesus. I say, bah humbug. It's not true. Jesus was resurrected bodily, physically, and resurrected and brought into heaven, and he is in heaven, he's coming back from heaven. So remember that. That's who we're waiting for, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming back from heaven with his mighty angels. He could have had those same mighty angels destroy the people that were around him while he was being crucified on the cross, but he didn't, because it wasn't part of God's plan. It was God's plan that he die on the cross for the sins of the world. That was the plan that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled. He fulfilled the promise of God that he would take care of it. He will do it. So we have this, this great promise that Jesus Christ is going to come back from heaven. Chapter 1. And then chapter 2. We have this great promise in verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? This is the Apostle Paul speaking. But what is his crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Did I say that right? For ye are our glory and joy. He was speaking about the reward. He was speaking about them. He was thinking about the fact that he was going to be rewarded for the salvation that they experienced because he was the proclaimer of the gospel. You read in the previous part of the chapter about Paul's, Paul was joyful in the fact that they received the gospel. They received his gospel. And that he knew that he was going to get a reward for that. And Brother Michael has spoken on this, about the seven crowns, as I recall. Five crowns we're going to receive. And Paul was talking about one of them here. He's talking about the crown he's going to get, the crown of rejoicing and glory in them as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only are we waiting for the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus himself coming down from heaven, but he's going to bring his reward with him. We read of that in the book of Revelation. He's bringing us a reward. Brothers and sisters, we don't deserve that. But yet he is. He's going to bring our reward. Praise the Lord, he is bringing our reward. And how many, Michael, was there?
Five crowns
that we could potentially get because of Jesus Christ. I find that unbelievable. That we're already saved, that's enough to speak of in itself. But the fact that we're going to get crowns, that's overwhelming to me. But that's what Paul was talking about here. He was talking about the joy of receiving the crowns that he was going to receive because of them, the Thessalonians. Praise the Lord that we too receive a crown of rejoicing for one sinner that comes to repentance. There's another one for being an elder. Is that another one?
And elder,
crown of righteousness.
And
the love of his appearing. That's what this whole book is about, loving his appearing. And what was the last one, brother? And the martyr's crown. Well, hopefully that won't happen, but somebody could walk in that door. and ask us if we believe, and literally shoot us right between the eyes. You know, we think of that as, I know I years ago I thought of that as never to happen. But it's happening. It's in the world today. It could happen right here at Bethany Gospel Chapel. It's coming our way. I never thought I'd see the day, but it's here. And so in chapter 3, we see another thought about his coming, and that is that the end of verse 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So he's talking here about being unblameable. The Lord wants us to be righteous. Be holy, for I am holy, he said. Be righteous, for he is righteous. And he wants us to love that as much as he does. He died for that. And he was resurrected. He lived a perfect, holy life. And we too, I know it seems unbelievable, but we too are to believe that and to love that. And I find it hard, even in my own self, to love righteousness as much as Christ did. But something that's changed in my prayer life a lot in the last few years is the fact that I do pray that God gives me the same love for righteousness as he has. And my prayer to you all is that you have that same love for righteousness as he had, because he wants us to be unblameable at his coming. Unblameable. And with all his saints, when he comes back, he'll be with all his saints. Furthermore, in chapter 4, he says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you received us, and how you ought to walk and to please God. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to please him. And I think of Micah chapter 6. The Lord wants us to walk humbly with thy God, to love mercy, and to walk holy before him. To love mercy like he loves mercy, to walk humbly like he walked humbly. The Lord Jesus Christ walked humble on this earth. So he wants us to please him by just honoring who he is and what he has done, and just to simply please him so we would abound more and more in chapter 1, verse 1. So then we lead on in chapter 4. We see, so we've seen here that he wants us to wait for his coming, to wait patiently for the Lord Jesus coming, because he promised he would come again. And then chapter 2, that he wants us to be aware that we're going to get a crown of rejoicing, reward. Chapter 3, that we are to be unblameable in his sight, to live pleasing and holy lives before God at his coming. So certainly he wants us to live our lives unblameable and holy before him now, before he comes. And then fourthly, he wants us to think about, well, we don't have to think about it. We automatically think about it. We think of those that preceded us, those that have died before us. And certainly these saints in the Thessalonians were thinking about the saints that died before them. Well, what about the Lord's coming? You know, how is it that they've already died? What are we supposed to think about that? And Paul tells them to comfort one another with these words, because the Lord Jesus Christ shall descend from heaven with a shout, and he gathers a promise for them to think about the Lord's return in this respect, that he will come back, but we won't precede them that have already followed the Lord before us. Those that have already died, our fellow believers in Christ, they're going to be resurrected first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So brothers and sisters, we're to comfort one another. We have these three things. We're to look for his return. We're to want to please him. And we're to try to be unblameable in his sight when he comes. And then fourthly, he wants us to comfort one another with these words, to comfort one another, to remind each other of the fact that those that have already died before us are already with the Lord in heaven and will go to be with the Lord in heaven even before us. Praise the Lord. We can comfort one another with these words. And then finally in chapter 5, he talks about, and I think it's very interesting, what he says here in chapter 5, in verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And notice what Paul puts in order here. He's talking about the three-part being that we are. We are spirit, soul, and body. We oftentimes think of it as being body, soul, and spirit, because we're here on earth. But we have a heavenly perspective. We read in Colossians chapter 3. Let me read it. I think we read this last week. "If ye then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory." And that's what we're waiting for, is we're waiting for the coming of the Lord to appear with him in glory. And it's not going to be body, soul, and spirit. Brothers and sisters, the body is going to die. This body is subject to decay. This world is under decay. And everything in it is decaying. Praise the Lord for that, because if it wasn't for that, you and I would be stuck in this bodies forever. What a horrible thought. Some of the older people probably could speak to that. But what a horrible thought to be stuck in this body forever. But God had mercy upon us, and he guarded the tree of life in the Garden of Eden with the cherub and a flaming sword, and he protected it so that we couldn't eat of it and be subject to death forever. But rather, he protected us from that, and he's letting us die a physical death so that when we die physically, we will be risen again spiritually and be with Christ forever. But brothers and sisters, we will get a new body, and it's going to be a resurrected body, because Christ got a new body. He proved it. He didn't mysteriously walk around pretending he was risen, but he walked around because he was risen. And that Thomas was challenged to put his finger in his wound, and he didn't. I don't think he did. He was a doubting Thomas, as we call him. How many of us are so doubting? But the Lord Jesus Christ was physically resurrected from the grave. So he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit. Christ will do it. I can't believe it sometimes when I think about it, how unholy I am. I just reek with sinfulness. Reek with it. I feel unworthy to be up here because I'm so reeking of unrighteousness in my own heart. But there will be a day when that whole spirit, he says here, your whole sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Can you imagine that? He's going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He is doing it. He's sanctifying me. And brothers and sisters, I just challenge you to stop in your own minds and your own thinking about how God is working in your own heart. Is he changing your heart? Is he changing you more to think like him? Holiness, unrighteousness, blameless, holy, undefiled. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was. He was all those things in the physical body. But yet he was put to death. But we are physically dying because we deserve it, because of sinfulness in our heart. But he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you." He's the one that's going to set us apart and sanctify our bodies and our minds and our spirit. And the spirit is number one here. He says, "And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see here these five things that we are to wait for the Lord, because he's coming back from heaven. He's coming with his reward, and we're going to receive rewards. Some maybe just one, some two, some three, some four, and some five. Maybe Mike can give another speech on that. I like that. And he wants us to be loving, unblameable at his coming, to wait on him, to sanctify ourselves, to mortify the flesh, to put it aside because the flesh is an enmity against God. So we see there, and we see in chapter 4, brothers and sisters, comfort one another with these words. The fact is, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming back to receive us unto himself. But we're not going to precede those that have died before us. Praise the Lord. We're going to see our loved ones. They're already going to be with the Lord before we are even resurrected. Praise the Lord. And then finally, we are going to be sanctified by holy, by the Spirit. We're going to be sanctified in the Spirit, sanctified in the soul, and sanctified in the body, because the Lord is going to give us a resurrected body, and we can look forward to that at his coming as well. So these are the wonderful things that we can look forward to, and I encourage you to think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as a seal upon his promise. The fact is, do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus, right, Christ rose from the grave? Or are we just all sitting here having fun? I mean, it's important. Are we just sitting here having fun? Or do we really believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave? And if we really believe that he rose from the grave, brothers and sisters, we too will raise from the grave. And the Word of God gives us these five things to think about in the book of Thessalonians. And then finally he says here, faithful, verse 24, is he that calleth you. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Christ will do it. I won't do it. I can stand here and talk till I'm blue in the face, as they say. And we can, you know, promise one another all kinds of things and make promises about all kinds of things. But the one that's going to do it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Only him. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can do it. Brethren, he says in the ending, I think these are worthy of reading. He ends it by saying, brethren, pray for us. Pray for one another, if you will. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Brethren, it's in the Word of God. I got a lot of books at home. I got piles of them, literally. And I look at them and I say, Lord, where do I begin? And he keeps pointing back to this. Get to know my Word better. Get to know my Word better. Get to know my Word better. We're in 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. Brothers and sisters, stories in there about the kings of Judah. Incredible. Got to come out Tuesday night. It's a small group. But it's the Word of God. These examples of these kings in the book of Chronicles. And some were good. Some were not so good. Who was saved? I don't know. Only God knows. But he wants us to know these men. And he wants us to know his word. So finally, brethren, he says, read the epistles to be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Grace of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful word, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift that he's given us that we don't deserve. The gift of eternal life. We're a few minutes early, so let's just close in prayer and we can have some time to share our thoughts one with another. Heavenly Father, we praise thee and thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you that you are coming again. Help us, Lord, to be ready for his coming, realizing where he's coming from, realizing he wants us blameless, he wants us holy before him, loving one another, comforting one another, and Father, that we might realize that you are the one that will complete it all, because you've made the promises, you're keeping the promises, and we know too that you will keep the promise that you are coming again. In Jesus' name we pray.